Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Hello and welcome. Today I'd like to welcome our guest, Stephanie Taub. Stephanie is senior counsel with First Liberty Institute, focusing on restoring religious liberty in the marketplace. At First Liberty, she advocates for the rights of employees and business leaders of faith to work with integrity consistent with their religious convictions. Stephanie has authored pieces published by National Review and the Federalist Society, and she's appeared on Fox News, Texas Review of Law and Politics, published her articles on federal employment law protections for faith-based employers. The article elaborates on the statutory rights of religious institutions to cultivate communities of faith. Stephanie, welcome. We are grateful to have you speak to our audience. Stephanie, would you please tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Thank you, Mark, for having me on. I really appreciate it and glad to be speaking to you and all of your listeners. So I have been fortunate, I'm honored to be a part of First Liberty Institute. We are a nationwide nonprofit law firm dedicated to protecting religious liberty for all Americans. And my focus in particular is on religious liberty in the marketplace. It is an important area of law these days. There are a lot of very important questions. And so I'm glad to be talking with you about some of these issues that could come up when we're talking about either religious nonprofits or when you're talking about business leaders of faith in the for-profit world.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, because we do have a lot of listeners that come from a variety of backgrounds. And our launching of the Encouragement for Work podcast in 2024 is really to allow those employers to bring encouragement into the workplace through a variety of areas like chaplaincy, different programs that they can do to support the communities in which they live in. But today, before we get into that, as you talk about our topic of navigating religious freedom in the workplace, let's start out by talking about the classifications of employers, because this is going to be really important as we launch this podcast series, that our listeners understand the different categories. So the way that I understand it is there's two separate, one being religious exempt employers like ministries, churches, and then secular for-profit businesses. Could you help our listeners navigate what the difference is between those two types of classifications of organizations?
Absolutely. And that's a good general framework for how to think about these sorts of issues, because different rules do apply to different organizations. And so the first kind of organization is your faith-based nonprofits. So this would be a church, a synagogue, Christian schools, religious charities. And these group of employers has many religious protections, religious liberty protections. They've got religious liberty protections from the Constitution. They've got it from statutes. And they generally can make employment decisions based on their religious beliefs. So they have a right to work together in a community of faith. But when you're talking about for-profit organizations, there are different rules apply, and you still have religious freedom rights, but they just work differently in the different contexts.
That's a great way to explain it. And for our listeners, what I want to talk about is building confident leaders, because I meet with a lot of clients, with a lot of organizations that are working for the religious exempt employers, and they're actually walking in fear, which I don't think they need to be walking in fear because we have religious freedom and they have protections. So do you have any advice for these religious exempt employers as they navigate moving forward, how to protect themselves, or just to give them some encouragement?
Absolutely. And we've seen that as well at First Liberty. Some people come to us and maybe their HR department came from a secular world and they're not sure how to go about implementing the religious freedom protections that they have now that they're at a faith-based nonprofit, so a church, a Christian school. So our advice, our recommendation is to go all in. If you are a religious nonprofit, make it clear that you're a religious nonprofit. That's the best way to ensure that you can invoke the religious liberty rights that you're entitled to, is if you actually hold yourself out as a faith-based nonprofit. So obviously it's case specific. You have to take a look at whether this is what you want to do. But if you want to be able to operate in a community of faith, you need to be expressly a religious nonprofit.
So a religious nonprofit, do they have to have a statement of faith or a doctrinal state in place?
Yeah, it would be recommended to be clear, to clearly specify that you are. There are a lot of different factors, and it depends. So there are nuances, and it depends on what state you're in and maybe what legal test might apply. But for most religious employers, it's pretty clear whether you are a religious organization or not. So making it clear that you have a doctrinal statement, you have a statement of faith, that's a way to shore up and make it beyond a question, beyond a doubt, that you are a religious nonprofit.
That's wonderful. So we serve a lot of Bible colleges, and they do have those statement of faith in place, and they have a team that looks at applicants apply. They put their own walk with the Lord down. And it's a wonderful way to screen people to make sure they align with their spiritual walk with that organization. But I also have a lot of friends that are Jewish. I have Muslim friends. I've met people that of the Hindu faith. I've actually been to India and witnessed the Hindu faith myself. What protections do they have? Are they covered under the same? I mean, we talk a lot about Christianity, but are they protected as well?
Absolutely. The religious liberty principles at issue, they apply to all faiths equally. So it's very important that we're at First Liberty, we're standing up for this principle of religious liberty for all Americans. And so it applies no matter what faith you're talking about. So a Jewish synagogue would have the same rights as a Christian church.
That's excellent. Are you aware of any current cases regarding religious exempt employers, whether it's a Christian organization or I believe it's Yeshiva or Yeshua College or a seminary for Jewish folks in New York, they have an issue. Do you have a case currently that might be applicable to our listeners of interest?
Well, there definitely are quite a few ongoing cases that are discussing issues about employment that have to do with faith-based employers. And so many of them will have to depend on what exactly is being alleged. But the basic rule is you have a right to make employment decisions based on your religion. So you can... Christian church can make a rule that they only want to hire Christians. That's pretty much unquestioned. There are cases around the edges that are in doubt. So if you have a specific situation, please reach out to an attorney, get specific legal advice that's tailored to your organization and your area of law or your area of the country.
That is excellent advice. That's wonderful, because what a lot of organizations don't understand is there are local and state statutes and laws that they need to follow. It's not just the federal guidance that they have to follow. So that's fantastic. We talked a lot about the religious exempt employers, which is so important to our listeners, but we have a lot of for-profit clients, and they're Christians. They love the Lord and they want to do certain things. And what type of advice could you give them as they navigate forward into 2024 on how and why they can share their faith in a way that's not illegal or offensive?
Absolutely. So this is a more difficult area. And so you do have to be a little more careful, but there are important rules that protect you and just some rules to keep in mind. So first of all, when you're talking about you're a business leader of faith, you're at a for-profit organization. So for-profit employers, they can't make employment decisions based on religion. So you have to respect the religious liberty rights of everybody. So of all of your employees, they have a right to be their own religion, and you can't make hiring, firing, transferring, promotion, any decisions like that based on their religious beliefs or based on your religious beliefs. So that's the basic one. But then that doesn't mean that you have to avoid any mention of religion in the workplace. So you're a business leader of faith. Say you want to have a Bible study, or say you want to, if this is your business, if you want to infuse your faith with, or infuse your business with your faith-based values or mission statement, or you want to have a faith-inspired logo, those sorts of things are all perfectly permissible to have this faith-based culture, as long as everything you do that's religious is voluntary, is not required of your employees, and employees can have different religious beliefs.
Which, of course, nobody wants to force their beliefs on anyone else. And a lot of times employers are accused of that. But I know a lot of employers that they're not trying to force a belief. And you're right, you can't make somebody to believe something, nor would we want them to believe it. You brought up the fact around the mission, vision, and values. And that strikes a chord in myself because I authored a book, How to Build a Kingdom-Minded Organization. It's pivotal as I tell the readers that they should create a mission, vision, values to memorialize their beliefs and not to force people to believe in it, but to kind of set the foundation for moving forward. So is it illegal for a organization or a company to say, we are a company founded on biblical principles? Or would that be allowable to say we're founded on biblical principles?
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this all the time. I mean, great examples are Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
So I've got the Chick-fil-A one right here. To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with Chick-fil-A. So that's just one great example of a faith-based mission statement. It infuses all they do, and they do so in a way that is completely non-discriminatory. So this is a gold standard.
And what we've found over the years is when employers include like a pre-header to their mission, vision, values, to say they're an organization founded on principles, we share that with applicants. Many organizations do that. And many applicants will say, you know, I'm tired of working in an environment with salty language or inappropriate conduct or some of the training that's being forced into employees. So it's a great way to share who you are and what type of organization you have so that applicants can understand coming into the organization itself. But to continue on with the secular for-profit organization, say it's a manufacturing environment, if they wanted to bring a chaplain in part-time, is that something that they could do?
Absolutely. So this is one way that many business leaders of faith want to help their employees, want to serve their spiritual needs and treat them like a family. So we've seen employers provide optional chaplains through organizations like Marketplace Chaplains, provide other sorts of counseling resources for their employees. This is just one of the many ways that employers can provide optional benefits for their employees to really help them. So it's a way. So the key being optional, voluntary, not mandatory. If it's provided as a resource, it's perfectly fine to do. So employers should feel empowered to provide these sorts of helpful resources for their employees.
That is excellent. Have you ever worked in a situation where the employer was trying to do Bible studies? And I realize it's optional or voluntary. And those are great sound bites for our listeners to have to give them to be courageous moving forward in 2024. But what's been your experience around Bible studies with employers? Do you have any experience in that area?
Yeah, so there's a movement about for employee resource groups of all different kinds and sorts of, so a lot of times Bible studies, voluntary Bible studies can fall within these employee resource groups or affinity groups that are in different sorts of companies. So this is one way that you can kind of bring your whole self to work. So employees can meet for a variety of different reasons at different companies, and allowing them to meet for Bible studies or even having your own Bible study, it's perfectly lawful as long as it's voluntary, and you have to make sure that they're not used as a factor in any sort of employment decision. So if you're attending these sorts and you have a Bible study, and attendance is not going to be a factor in who's promoted and who's not promoted. That should go without saying, but might as well just say it.
And it should, because as Christians in the marketplace, we need to shine the light of Christ with everybody we meet. And I know of a circumstance many years ago as a company was growing. It started with a lot of Christians owning the business. And as they grew, they got a little nervous. Hey, we got to open this up and we got to bring some people into the organization. There was some resistance. The employee came in, was hired, found the Lord within 6 months, went to seminary, and is in India right now pastoring. So you never know what God has planned for your employees. So the best thing that you can do is say, hey, we're a great work environment. We're moral, and we try to focus on the word of God. Another situation that's just come up with us is organizations that are looking for volunteers to staff their ministry in the community. And I think it's a wonderful partnership that a Christian-owned for-profit business that wants to volunteer, maybe in the schools in the area. There's a wonderful organization called Bible to School, where in the state of Pennsylvania, they're able to bring the Word of God to kids in the school. Is that something that you've worked on or that you may have some advice for our listeners on?
Yeah, so this would fall under something similar to charitable giving. So it's companies often use their charitable giving or volunteering to further values that the company believes in, whether they're secular or religious. So it's perfectly in keeping with what businesses are allowed to do. Again, voluntary being the key.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful advice, Stephanie. And Stephanie, we just have a few minutes left. So what I'd like you to do is, in closing, if you feel led, if there's a special advice or a special word that you would like to give our listeners, we just have 1 or 2 minutes to wrap things up.
Absolutely. So another way for-profits to be really faith-friendly is to make it clear that religious accommodations will be freely granted. So if any employee of any faith or of no faith feels the need to request an accommodation so they're not forced to violate their deeply held beliefs, these accommodations should be freely granted. And that's a way for employers to be clear that they're faith-friendly, they're respecting the faith of or their beliefs of their employees. And so this First Liberty recently ran a unanimous Supreme Court decision on this very issue about religious accommodations in the workplace. So that's a very important resource for your employers out there.
Stephanie, congratulations on that win too. That's incredible. Stephanie, First Liberty is blessed by you. Organizations are blessed by you. And the United States is blessed by you. I want to thank you so very much for your time with us. And I'll be praying for you, your family, and First Liberty in 2024. And I pray we can have you back again later in the year as cases start coming out of the Supreme Court. And we can talk about some more about religious liberty in the workplace. But God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.